Okay, Parshas Yisro, Tavshin Samaches. We have been now in the habit of working with small little words, right? Small little words, zo and zos and ze, oz, omer, dibor, remember, ledaber, amira, dibor. Well, we're continuing the pattern, and the word we're working on today is kol, the voice. Kuf Vav Lamed, the voice, because this word figures greatly in the story of Ma'amad Har Sinai, because when we are reminded of what we experienced there, we are reminded that we heard a kol, a voice. And if you look in Perek Yutes, for example, the Perek Yutes 19, page 404, you see that the kol figures very prominently. For example, Pasuk Yud Tes, Vayhi kol ha-shofar shofar holech v'chazak ma'od, Moshe yedaber v'elokim ya'anenu ba'kol. Now that's a very strange pasuk, hard to understand. Moshe would speak, and God would answer him with a kol. How are we supposed to think about that? So here, our job is to try to understand the concept of the kol that we heard at Har Sinai. Now, in addition, later on, Moshe reminds the Jewish people in Devarim that they heard a great voice, but they did not hear speech. For example, flip quickly to Devarim Perek Hei Pasuk Chaf. Devarim Perek Hei, Pasuk Chaf, which you will find on 970. Vayhi kishamachem es hakol, mitoch hachoshech, vahahar bo'er ba'esh, v'tikruvun elai kol roshei shevtechem v'ziknechem. And continue, v'tomru, when you heard that call, Moshe is reminding them what they saw and what they heard and what their reaction was. When you heard that call, in the midst of the darkness, you all came to me, v'tomru, and you said to me, Hein herano Hashem Elokeinu eskvodo, v'eskud godlo, Hashem showed us His kavod and His greatness, v'eskolo shamanu mitoch ha'esh. And then you said, v'ata lama namus, why should we die? This fire is too great for us. Im yosfin anachnu, l'shmo eskol Hashem Elokeinu od v'masnu. If we continue to hear the call, we will die. What person of flesh has ever heard the call of Elohim alive from the Tocha Esh Kamonu, like we have, Vayechi, and still survive the experience? So you see that the concept of the call Hashem that we heard at Har Sinai figures very prominently. What is the call? Do we have any remainder today of that call? Do we have any sense of what it was that the Jewish people heard? Some type of voice, okay? Now, in addition to the question of what is the kol simply, we immediately, in beginning to delve into this issue, see that the kol is described in two totally different ways. On the one hand, and this comes from my grandfather in his Chumash Sefer, on the one hand, the Sifri in Parshas Naso tells us that first, in one source we find that the Jewish people experienced kolot ubrakim. They heard great sounds like thunder and lightning, awe-inspiring sounds. That was the kol. The kol that is described here is a terrifying, overwhelming, piercing kol that completely overcame them. To the point that they said to Moshe, as we just read, if we hear this call anymore, we will all die. We can't survive this call. It shook up every fiber of their being. And at the same time, in Malachim Perek Aleph, regarding Eliyahu and Navi, remember this? We are taught that the call they heard was of a very different nature. Kol d'mama daka, a very thin, still sound. Not something that overwhelmed them and terrorized them, but something that was quietly working its way into their minds, and it was something that they could absorb, and something that they would not terrify them, and would not render them, in a sense, helpless, but something that was they could absorb. How could the two of these things, you know, what we need to do is make sense of these two types of coal that they heard.
Well, we have different voices.
We have different voices, but nothing about us can be compared to any way that Hashem is described. Remember we say in Adon Olam, V'hu echad ve'ein sheni, laham shil lo u'lahachbira. Laham shil is to make a mashal. So whenever we're trying to describe something that emanates from Hashem, so to speak, something that's an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we be careful with using our own experiences to try to understand it. Although we can only work within our own experiences, but we have to use them and then go beyond them. Now, we know, for example, that this coal was so powerful that on the one hand we hear that the world was filled with this great sound, thunder and lightning, but you all know the Medrash that in Shemos Rabbah, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, Tzipor lo tziatz, right, is that how you pronounce it? No tzipor chirped, and of lo parach, no bird flapped their wings, there was no flutter of wings, Sharlo ga'a, and no animal made a sound, basically. Nothing, no insect, nothing made a sound. Not even the seraphim up in heaven, the spiritual beings, whatever they might be, lo amru kadosh kadosh. They stopped saying shira, saying kadosh kadosh, which means that the world was absolutely still, which sounds a lot like cold mama daka. So obviously we're dealing with the concept that what Chazal are telling us with these midrashim, two different experiences were taking place. One described by kolot ubrakim with loud earth-shattering sounds that terrified them and they felt they couldn't survive. And they begged Moshe to go ahead and he should speak to Hashem and they should be then just told, just that Moshe should report to them what he heard. And the other type of kol that was heard was something very still, very quiet, no need for a lot of drama, very still. This was the sound of the quiet in the world at the time. So our job here today is to decipher the kol. So in order to understand what the kol, the two types of kolot were, we're going to go and ask another question. How do we refer to the experience that we had at this moment? What do we call it? There's a few different names. One of the famous names is Ma'amad Har Sinai. What's another name? Matan Torah. Now, these are very different names. Why do we use them interchangeably? They are not meant to be used interchangeably at all. Two different experiences took place at Har Sinai. One is called Ma'amad Har Sinai, and one is called Matan Torah. Now, let's analyze these phrases. Ma'amad, the shorish of Ma'amad? Lamod, to stand up, standing. And where were they standing? At Har Sinai. Why do we call it Har Sinai, the location? What is significant about the fact that this was a mountain called Sinai, the location? Well, we know from Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibel Torah mi Sinai, we're talking about a type of Kabbalah Satorah, which is associated with Har Sinai, and it's called Amida. There's an aspect of standing. Now, just notice what normally happens to people when Hashem is revealed?
They bang.
Right? No flim al pneihem. They fall, and there are endless examples which we will get to. This is not a case, when we talk about Ma'amad Har Sinai, of a situation where the people fall on their faces before the revelation, but they are standing, and they're standing before Har Sinai. As opposed to Ma'amad Har Sinai, we have Matan Torah. What is Matan the Shorash of? Natan, right? But what sounds a lot like Matan?
Matana,
a gift, and it's called Torah. And Torah is the Shorash of Torah is? Or. Or. Okay, Hora'ah, which comes from Or. So one aspect of what happened at Sinai, which we have to know, is a gift of Or, of light. And one aspect of what happened at Har Sinai is some where we stood on our feet, secure and stable, and receive Torah. Two totally different experiences. One came first, and one followed. This, by the way, is there's a machlokus between the Ramban and the Rambam regarding what is the mitzvah expressed in Beth Hanan. There's a particular mitzvah expressed in Beth Hanan. Here's the mitzvah. Rak hishomer lecha ushomer nafshecha mod. Watch yourselves. Pen tishkach es hadvarim asherau einecha pen yisuru milvavecha. Maybe you should forget what your eye saw, that it should stray from your heart. It should kind of, you should stop, pen yisuru. What's a good way to explain this? Pen yisuru milvavecha. It should not just stray. It should kind of be forgotten. It should slip away from your heart. Kol yimei chayecha. Rather, v'hodatam libanecha ulibnei benecha, you must tell your children and your grandchildren, yom asher amadita lifnei Hashem elokecha b'chorev. There is a mitzvah. Never to forget what happened and tell your children about the day you stood at chorev. Now, there's a machlokas here between the Ramban and the Rambam. Whether remembering the events of Har Sinai are among the Taryag mitzvos or they're not. According to Ramban, they are included in the Taryag mitzvos. According to Rambam, this is not one of the Taryag mitzvos. My husband, actually, at my son's bar mitzvah, discussed this topic, and it's a basic yisod. It comes down to what we're speaking about. What happened at Har Sinai? What is the two definitions of kol? What is mamad Har Sinai, and what is matan Torah? So we're going to go through the two concepts of Mamad Har Sinai, Matan Torah, and realize that each type of kol is associated with one awareness of the events of Sinai. And hopefully we'll understand the Ramban and the Rambam's machlokas, whether it's a mitzvah or not. When we talk about, first of all, we'll talk about the Rambam's approach, because this comes first. The Rambam does not see remembering Sinai as part of the Taryag mitzvahs, because he considers it to the events of Sinai to fall under the general category of the mitzvah of emunah in Hashem. And he makes it very, very clear that what happened at Matan Torah, as my grandfather explains, was an overwhelming experience that the Jewish people had that said to them without any words at all, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Lo yelocha Elohim acherim. In other words, when they saw the Giloy Shechina of Har Sinai, no words had to be used at all. The kol that the Rambam is speaking about, the kolos in the brakim, or the kolei kolot, the voice of God, was an experience of Giloy Shechina that did away with any need for any specific mitzvah to know I am God. The experience itself screamed, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And their reaction to that experience, as in any reaction of anybody when there's an overwhelming Giloy Shechina, is exactly what we read in Devarim. They knew they couldn't survive. A yiplu al pneihem, they fell down, the Medrash tells us, right? Parcha nishmasam, their souls departed from them. They were overwhelmed. They were unready. Nobody could have been prepared for this experience other than one person in the history of the whole world, and that is Moshe Rabbeinu. No other human being could have been prepared for this. No other human being was prepared for this. And the reaction to the Jewish people had was shock and, in a sense, instant death. And this is why they came to Moshe and said, we can't survive this, you have to speak to us. Which means to say that according to the Rambam, the main experience of Sinai was not learning Torah, was not receiving mitzvos. That is not how we think about the events of Sinai. According to the Rambam, my grandfather explains, he explains the concept of Matan Torah. According to the Rambam, what we're speaking about here is what we call Matan Torah, not Mamad Har Sinai. What remains with us through all these generations, through the millennia, is something that was embedded so deeply in our consciousness, a truth, and an awareness, a visceral knowledge of Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yeh Lecha Elohim Acherim, that can never be separated from the consciousness of the Jew, but it didn't go through the mind. It went through every other aspect of the person. It was not something that the person had to comprehend intellectually. It was something that overwhelmed the person with truth, with obviousness. And at that point, you might be right in saying there was no bechira at that point. They could have known, they couldn't have made any other choice. There wasn't as if there was a choice here to accept the Torah's mitzvahs or not accept the Torah's mitzvahs. This isn't about the mitzvahs at all. The main aspect of Sinai is not about the mitzvahs we received at all. It's about the experience that created a reality for a Jewish person that they need. The Torah is, the need to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deeply embedded within them, and if they don't pursue that, that desire they have to know the truth, to know the reason of their existence, to connect with their Creator, they will be unhappy, they will be sick. They will not be able to live. There is a book written 30 years ago called What Makes Sammy Run. It was analyzing the neurosis of the Jew to always, what is driving the Jew? And what we're saying is this is driving the Jew. Now he makes a point that it can't be that Har Sinai was, what happened there was a chiddush. The chiddush was the giving of mitzvos. It was not an experience where we received mitzvos for the first time for two very simple reasons. There were six mitzvos b'nei Noach, where they're called seven mitzvos b'nei Noach, but Rambam explains to us that there were six mitzvos, and we've talked about this, that were given to Adam. Noach came and added the seventh. By the way, the sixth, which we should all know, is there is only one God, right? Which means no avodah zarah. Not to what we call birchas Hashem, but we mean the opposite. To set up a fair and just court system. Okay? And no killing, no stealing, and no adultery. These were six mitzvahs, basic ethics, given to Adam. Noah came and added a seventh. And then the Jewish people were receiving mitzvahs all through. Avram, it was the mitzvah of Brismila, and Yitzchak did Meiser, and Yaakov Yaakov gave, it was the instituted the mitzvah of Meiser, and we learn about tefillah. And then right here, turn back for a moment Turn back to the Shalach, Perak Tesvav, Pasuk Chafei. Where we are on page 382. Right? Vayitzak el Hashem, vayarehu Hashem eitz. This is Mara, right? Vayashlech el Hamayim, vayimtiku Hamayim, sham, samlo, chok, umishpat. We know that they already received mitzvos in Mara, but prior to that they received mitzvos in Mitzrayim. Brismila, Korban Pesach. This is not, the concept of Har Sinai is not to be talked about according to this, as where we received mitzvos. When it became clear to us that we were makabel mitzvos, this is not at all the essence of Har Sinai. The essence of Har Sinai rather was an experience that can be described as kolei kolot, noise, so many sounds bombarding us. And what was the sound of? It was called the voice of Hashem, which made us know, I exist, and nothing else besides me has any meaning. Nothing else other than what is associated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu has meaning. And to think that there is Hashem and other things is a mistake. Now, this, by the way, is something that we do relate to some degree. When a person says, I'm speaking to you, okay, I want you to hear what I'm telling you. So what's important is the words that I'm conveying. But when we daven and we say, for example, Shema Koleinu, what do we mean? Are we asking that Hashem should hear all of the requests we just made, which are concepts, logical concepts, health and wealth and happiness and Mashiach and Beis HaMikdash? Are we saying, hear my message? Is that Shema Koleinu, the message that I just tried to convey? Or is Shema Koleinu more like this type of kol, where sometimes a person, and this was certainly the case of Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim, doesn't need to express, they understand that deeply. They don't need to express, to articulate what every particular issue in their life is before God, who knows everything. All they want to really express in the concept of Shema Koleinu, hear our voices, I am here. I exist. I am, everything that is me is before you. You know me. You know my needs. You know my shortcomings. You know what I'm struggling with. Hear that inner voice that says, Ani, I, it, all that is me. Without me expressing specifics that you know better than I know anyway, without me seeing the big picture, without knowing myself even, sometimes we think we can understand other people, we don't even understand ourselves. Sometimes we do things and we say, and we're shocked that we had a reaction like that, that we behaved in a certain way, that something, emerged that we thought wasn't us. And we don't even know why we have certain behaviors or certain, we take certain, we have certain reactions, kal vachomer other people, and why they react the way they do. So there's a Shema Kolenu, which is speaking about the deepest inner voice that simply says, I exist. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the kol of Matan Torah, the Matana of Torah, was that we knew, and this was a gift for us, nothing we worked to deserve, nothing we could have earned on our own. The gift that was embedded in the mind and in the heart of every Jew at this event was a deep, visceral knowledge. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, without any word spoken. Okay? So Rambam told, as we're going to read, when we say we heard the first two Dibros Mipi HaGvura, we didn't hear the words from Hashem at all. We just heard the experience that said, without any need for words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's the call. Now, in other words, Rambam is saying here that we're not learning Torah at Har Sinai, we are knowing Torah at Har Sinai. It becomes known to us. It's not an event of learning Torah, of learning mitzvahs. This explains something we've brought up in the past. And you probably remember this, but we'll just say it for a second. Remember that whole Medrash that Hashem went to the Amim and offered them the Torah, and they said, what's in it? And he said, don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery. And they said, nope, nope, nope. All right. So, the question is obvious. Anyway, all of those nations are obligated in those very same mitzvot as Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. So what did they exactly absolve themselves of? What is that whole measure saying? They didn't exactly escape any responsibility by saying, no, thank you, we're not going to take Torah. They're mechuyev the same way, with or without the Torah. And what did Klal Yisrael receive when they said, yes, we'll take the Torah? They already had the same mitzvahs, right? So this is my grandfather says, what we received, the matana we received and what they rejected is not the mitzvos themselves, but the deeply embedded connection to the mitzvos that we cannot disconnect. We cannot, without great peril to ourselves. And notice, people who do disconnect often have grandchildren or great-grandchildren who reconnect. It's not a kind of bond you can break that easily without great damage, and even when you try to break it, it has a way of pulling itself back together very often. Okay? Against our will. It's a magnetic force that's impossible for many people to resist. That's the matana. That's the matana of Sinai. So what did the Amim reject? They rejected that deep, that inborn, what we have now is an inborn drive that brings us to desire to do the mitzvos. That it comes from deep within. They still have the chiyuv, but it's external. Their behavior is external. They have to keep the mitzvos because they're obligated by God at Har Sinai to keep the mitzvos. By the way, an important point here, a tangent. Rambam says that a non-Jew, this is an interesting thing, a non-Jew has a chiyuv to abide by the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach because they were reiterated at Sinai, not because of they were taught in the beginning of the world. In other words, the events of Sinai, what we heard at Sinai, obligates the Goyim. They are not obligated by the basic morality that came down to the world with humanity, because it makes sense, because it's right, the right way to live. Their kesher to the mitzvos and their reason for doing them has to be Sinai. Okay? Just like us. So what they have now is an obligation. What they rejected is that yearning desire to want to be obligated. To run after it, to be unable to separate from it. That's Matan Torah, and that's how Rambam speaks about the events of Har Sinai. Now, what about the Ramban? Did we actually hear the words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha? Yes, we heard them afterwards. After we experienced the Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which was the call, then the Jewish people, like in every experience of Gilui Shechina, are dying, naflu al pneihem, they're falling on their faces, and they're telling they tell Moshe, we can't survive, you go. Moshe goes, and what does he bring back to them? The words that the experience, was meant to teach them. So here's the Rambam in the Mora Nevuchim. It says like this. Yisroel only heard at that gathering one call, one single time. The voice through which Moshe and all B'nai Yisroel apprehended, it was a voice through which they apprehended I, which is Anochi, the first Dibra, and Lo Yelocha, the second Dibra. Which commandments Moshe made them hear again, spoken in his own speech with an articulation of the letters that were heard. The sages said this, quoting in support of this assertion, the dictum, and they quote from this Tehillim, Samach Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis, Achas Diber Elokim, Shtayim Zu Shamati. That's what this means. Hashem spoke once. That's the first call. That's what we understood Anochi. But I heard it twice, because then Moshe went and brought us the words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha lo yelech elohim acherim, brought the actual words. This is the quote, and Rambam. So Rambam goes on to say that's the essence of Har Sinai. Now, however, they did hear the words too. The words came later, and therefore we can say that the kol d'mama daka that describes also the kol of Har Sinai were the words that Moshe brought to them, the mitzvos that Moshe brought to them, as he heard it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is an experience of Talmud Torah, learning Torah. Now the Ramban says that the mitzvah to remember the events of Sinai are one of the mitzvos of one of the Taryag mitzvos, because it is the mitzvah, he says, of to know the source from where our Torah came. The Ramban explains that the main aspect of this event was Talmud Torah, and therefore it's a mitzvah to remember where the mitzvahs came from. Whereas Rambam says it's not a specific mitzvah, it's part of the mitzvah of Emunas Hashem. Really, they're both speaking about two different aspects of Har Sinai. There's really no stira here. The Ramban focuses on the learning, the receiving of Torah itself. Now, that we call Ma'amad Har Sinai, and it is expressed through Kol D'mama Daka. Now, let's talk about Ma'amad Har Sinai. In order to do this, we go to the Eschanan. Perek Dalid. Pasuk Yud, let's see. Okay. Perek Dalet Pasuk Yud. Okay, which is what we quoted before. What do we have to tell our children? Yom Asher Amadata Lifnei Hashem Elokecha Bechoriv. Now, if you look at Pasuk Yud Aleph, go a little further. V'tikruvun v'tamdun. They came close and they stood. Here in Yisro v'yitzatzvu tachtit ahor, and they stood. Also here, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Tesvav, Vayar Ha'am Vayino, Vayamdu Merachok. They stood far away. And Pasuk Yudches, Vayamod Ha'am Merachok. All of these references to standing, Amida, standing. The concept of Har Sinai is associated with the concept of Ma'amad, of standing before the mountain and receiving the Torah. What we're talking about here is obviously a very different experience, because before the Gilo Shechina, before God's revelation, we expressed already before, it is impossible to stand. It is an experience of being overwhelmed, overcome, and losing control of your natural strength and wherewithal, and being at the mercy of forces way more powerful than yourself that overwhelm you and are not absorbed by the person at all. In, for example, here, my grandfather brings a whole bunch of examples of the concept of being nofel al pneihem. For example, Shmini, Parsha Shmini. Vateitse esh milchnei Hashem, vatochal al hamizbeach, etc. Vayar kol ha'am, vayironu, vayiplu al pneihem. Eliyahu bahar ha'karmel, vatofel esh Hashem, vatochal es ha'ola, vesa etzim, etc. Vayar kol ha'am, vayiplu al pneihem, vayomru Hashem hu Elokim. And Matan Torah, Har Sinai ashan kulo, mipnei asher yorad alav Hashem ba'esh. In Yisro, it tells us, Bahar Ba'er Be'esh Ad Lev Hashemayim, the mountain was burning in fire until the, so to speak, the core of heaven. And at the same time, it tells us in Veshanam, Vayamod Ha'am, Velo Naflu, that they stood there and they didn't fall down. In addition to that, we find that regarding any Nevuah that a Navi receives, that when they hear Devar Hashem, Naflu Al Pneihem, they fall on their faces. Even the greatest of the Nevi'ei Ha'umos Ha'olam, who is Bilam, testifies. He calls himself Nafal V'Galoy Einayim. I'm falling down, but my eyes are opened. Except for Moshe Rabbeinu. And so, and especially in Yom Kippur. What do we say in Yom Kippur? In the Musaf Avodah, when the Kohen Gadol says the Shem HaMeforesh, right? What is the Amdu? Hayukorim u'mishtachadim v'noflim al pneihem v'omrim baruch shem kvod ma'achosol v'lam ved. However, when Hashem said Anochi Hashem Elokecha, lo ishtachavu v'lo naflu rach hichziku ma'amadam, they were able to stand straight and strong and accept the Torah. This sounds like an entirely different experience than the first one we described. So Ramban is telling us, this is consistent with the Ramban's view of the main aspect of Matan Torah, which is that Matan Torah was a time of a quintessential limud ha-Torah, which goes through the brain, which is something that the human being can hear, comprehend, integrate, and make part of them. That is limud Torah. Limud Torah is not some overwhelming experience of Gilo Shechina. Limud Torah is an experience that a human being takes part in, very much a partner. And it is works through the apparatus of the mind, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. And here in Veshanan, it tells us, Panim and the Panim, Diber Hashem Imachem, face to face, God spoke to you, standing, composed, absorbing what He was teaching you. And this is what we make a bracha on, by the way, every single day. Hamalamed Torah La'amo Yisrael. And this is the essence of the concept of Ma'amar HaSinai. That when we talk about Ma'amar HaSinai, we're talking about an experience that puts up, strengthens a person, gives a person stronger legs to stand on, because now they understand more. Now the truth is clear to them. Now they can stand up against any type of argumentation, any type of force that tries to convince them that the Torah is not true, that the mitzvot are not true, that the way they live is not is a fantasy. We have the wherewithal, the strength. We have the ammunition, the intellectual ammunition, to know what it is that we do and why we do it. In fact, my grandfather brings out here that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola said in the Meseches Avos, Hamidu Talmidim Harbe, right? You should cause many Talmidim to stand up. You should, right? You should Hamidu Talmidim Harbe. What does that mean? So they say that, interestingly enough, that Mimos Moshe, from Moshe Rabbeinu, for 2,000 years until the time of Rabban Gamliel, In every Beis Medrash, only one person sat, the one who was teaching. Everyone stood. The posture of Lima Torah until Rabban Gamliel, 2,000 years, was standing on your 2 feet. They could have been for hours. I guess they had breaks or whatever to sit down. Hayulomdim ba'amida v'harav yoshev al hakise, and that's it. Only one person stood. Only one person sat. So now we're weaker. So now everybody sits, but the proper posture is standing. So what my grandfather explains here is, sheker ein bo raglayim, right? You can't stand. MS has feet. The posture is standing because what we're trying to explain here is that the Torah gives us information, which as we said before, which we accept in a composed fashion, ammunition, understanding, depth of truth, where nothing out there can really sway us. When we have true Torah on our side, the wisdom, the correctness of it, the way of life, nothing out there can really sway a person. And I'll go on a tangent here for a brief moment. My grandfather, at the end of his life, wrote an essay. He actually was a speech. It was converted into an essay called A Second Look at Torah im Derech Eretz. And he compares, he had many years earlier written a piece called Elu Ve'elu, which I just distributed copies on Sunday, and if anyone wants, we can have more copies, but it's in one of the books. And he compares the Torah-only lifestyle, and he compares Torah im Derech Eretz lifestyle. And then much, much later in his life, he went and before he died, actually not long before he died, he gave a lecture called A Second Look at Torah im Derech Eretz. And he says there, among many things, this concept that Torah im Derech Eretz firstly should never be misunderstood, as some people would like to misunderstand it, as a Horas Shah. It was a way for Hirsch to compete with the reform movement. He says it was not a Horas Shah, it was a Lechatchila way of living, not a Bidiyevid. And he says we know, everybody is aware of the dangers that lurk out there, that threaten our Torah strength and our knowledge. However, if you fortify someone from the time they're young with a true understanding of Torah and comparison to what the options are outside of Torah, and you compare how we live and how they live, and you explain the truth of it, you don't have to be afraid when a person wanders and finds his way out there in the world. They are fortified. They are standing on their feet with security and composure, and we trust them to be able to walk among the others and not be swayed. The Torah im Derech Eretz is a program for that type of life, and it's a lechatchila program, not a bidyeved. Because, you know, that we have to be afraid. In any case, this is the standing on the feet that we're talking about, that's the events of Sinai. According to Ramban, who says this is a mitzvah, one of the Targum mitzvahs, to know the source of the Torah, he says that the kol, basically, the kol in kol d'mama daka is the true voice of Torah that penetrates a person's mind and gives them strength and puts them on their feet, and it's called Ma'amad Har Sinai. And this is, according to the Ramban says that the mitzvah is to remember where the Torah comes from, that the essence of the experience was learning Torah, unlike the Rambam. The essence was learning Torah, allowing the knowledge to penetrate our minds. That's called Mama Daka, comprehensible, Derecheha Darchei Noam, pleasant, coherent, strengthening, MS, puts us on our feet. That is the same, synonymous with Ma'amad Har Sinai. Called the Mama Daka, Limud Torah, that's that category. That's what happened at Sinai. According to Rambam, what main essence of Sinai was the overwhelming experience of Anochi Hashem Elokecha Shema Kolenu, the Kol. The Kol Ramban is talking about is the Kol the Mama Daka, the Limud Torah. Now both experiences took place at Sinai. According to the Rambam, the first call took place first, the overwhelming experience of Anochi Hashem Elokecha that was conveyed without need for any words at all. It wasn't something that had to be taught. And then the second experience of Sinai was the words of Torah, which came to us through Moshe, Klal Yisrael didn't hear Hashem tell them words of Torah at all. Only Moshe did. And they were conveyed to us through Moshe. And what we take from that is that what happened at Sinai was a ma'amad. We were put on our feet, no falling, no noflim apneihem, omdim, standing. And so what we take, so both of these aspects of what happened at Sinai are true and remain with us till today. On the one hand, the voice of God, so to speak, that rang out and said, that said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Where is that voice? That voice still reverberates in this world around us. That is the voice that we hear sometimes if our eyes are opened, when we see things, glimpses that shake us up and shock us, either personal or to the nation at large, that tells us, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, without having to be taught it by anybody. Firstly, certainly the world at large, okay? But the world is for everyone. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is personal to the Jewish people. That's why it doesn't say, I am Hashem who created the world. It says, I am Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim. So when a person has a personal salvation or is going through a personal crisis, they understand sometimes Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and sometimes we see it in just the Siyata Deshmaya Hashkacha, somehow the cloud over us at all times, the cloud protecting us somehow at all times. Of course, the miracle of Jewish survival, which defies all logic. And at the same time, the Kol D'mama Daka is also reaching us in every generation. When you hear, sometimes we are privileged to learn something, to be granted an insight, to peel away the layers, and there's the kernel of what we knew all the time. We just didn't have a vision of it. And all of a sudden you're given the vision sometimes. Certain times you hear Torah that just reveals, in a sense, something deeply true that we always knew. We just didn't have the puzzle pieces. That's the Kol D'mama Daka. It's a intellectual, emotional pleasure. It's a pleasure that, there's no pleasure that can rival that type of pleasure. It's a pleasure of knowledge. It's quiet. It comes to the person. It's like the light going on. And that's the Kol D'mama Daka that comes to each person and teaches them the Torah. Word for word, it conveys information, it conveys ideas, and those ideas strengthen the person and put them solidly on their feet. Now, let's ask the last question. Which is more important? Well, we learn, Chacham Adif Minavi. The Chacham is preferred to the Navi. Chacham Adif Minavi. Even according to Rambam, first they fell on their faces, but then they stood up and they learned Torah. The first call was flatten them, right? They told Moshe, we're going to die. We can't. Nobody ever experienced this and lived. But the second call put them on their feet and prepared them to move forward, right? Gave them the strength. When we talk about zokef kafufim, standing us up straight, notice by the way the word is written, zokef kafufim. Look at the letters that make up the word kafufim. Everything is kafuf. The whole word is made up of letters that are bent over, right? Now, how is zokef written? Not in script. The zayin stands straight, the vav stands straight, and then the kuf, right? To stand somebody up straight. That's what happens. First, we are imbued with a absolute, a visceral awareness of Ein Od Milvado. Then, the Torah and the knowledge that comes afterwards strengthens us and puts us on our feet. This also explains what Emunah Pshuta is. Emunah Pshuta, my grandfather used to say, is not a Pashut thing at all. There are two aspects. There's the what we receive from our ancestors, and which we cannot disentangle from ourselves. As David HaMelech says, Torascha besoch mea. Your Torah is deeply, it's in my guts. So that comes in, and every Jew has emunah from their avos and imahos, that they're a Jew, and no matter how much they try to escape it, they won't do so unharmed. It will cause them more pain than they can imagine. That's deeply rooted in us. We cannot escape. On the same token, once there's that emuna, then comes a tremendous demand for knowledge, for understanding, for working on it. There's, my grandfather used to say, emuna pshuta is no lazy man's excuse for doing the mitzvahs without knowing why, and not knowing for what, and not understanding, and not delving, and not questioning. It's not a lazy man's excuse. Emuna pshuta is what starts us off and begins our path that leads to chachma. As we say every morning, reishis chachma yiras Hashem, which means to say, first yiras Hashem, that's what we got first. Then you can begin on the path to chachma. You begin, within the framework of that Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you can start to think. And your thought processes will take you up way higher than the moon. We landed a man on the moon and all of that, but the human mind has an ability to think in an abstract way that is almost up to God Himself. Very little limits, okay? Up until, of course, the mind of Hashem. But for the human mind, can go to extreme places. However, starting with the foundation and within the framework of Anochi Hashem, because if you are not starting with the framework of Anochi Hashem Elokecha and you let your mind wander, it can bring you to the most inane, ridiculous of conclusions. You can be a brilliant man and arrive at crazy conclusions because you're not starting at Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. So we're given a framework of how to think. How to get to real truth, how to get to real knowledge of the human being, who we are, why we are, what we're here for, how we operate. To get to real truth, you start with a concept of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and then your path is laid out in front of you. So both experiences are what stay with us till today. And both experiences have to be conveyed to the children. Both experiences. That there was the first call, and then the second call. Okay. Questions, yeah.
It's not a question, but I think I could add something.
Yes, add.
All the explanations are fine, but if you just go to the Ketuvah Atzmo, what is written, is this was a different experience that was necessary because